there are a couple things I wanted to share regarding this. Eventually, I'm going to have you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So you can turn there now. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. One of the great things to understand when it comes to understanding not just God's Word, but what God's Word makes known, which is Jesus Christ, is that from Genesis 3:15 forward, Jesus Christ is the subject of God's Word. From Abel onward, it all pointed toward the Christ. We don't have time to look at some of these things, but it's a great study in God's Word. Abel, he offered a lamb which represented that Lamb of God that would one day come. And from then on, God has provided for illustrations, for portraits, for depictions of the promised Christ. I mentioned Melchizedek. We read a little bit about Melchizedek a few moments ago. Melchizedek, we don't know a lot about him. Hence it says in Hebrews, he has no beginning, he has no end. See, we don't know much about him. But we do know this, that he was a king and that he was high priest of the Most High God. Isn't that something? When Abraham defeated some enemies, it was Melchizedek, king of Salem, which later became Jerusalem. He was king of what would one day be Jerusalem, and high priest of the Most High God, met Abraham offering wine and bread. And he was offering this wine and bread and partaking of this with Abraham, unto whom the promise was made that the Christ would come from his seed. That's something. And it foreshadowed, it was pointing toward how that Christ would offer himself on our behalf. See? So there's always been these portraits all through God's Word. The Mosaic Law, many examples, too many to talk about here. But the, you had the Passover. There's just so many things. But you had, let me mention this, you had a daily sacrifice that was done morning and evening. And the priest would offer a lamb of the first year and would sacrifice that lamb. Just so that you have some understanding of this, he would do this on behalf of the people. And the heart of it was, is that as they were slaying that lamb, he would put his hand on that lamb. See? And the innocence, the sins of the people would pass to the lamb, and the innocence of the lamb would pass to the one offering the sacrifice. Isn't that something? See? And it was a foreshadowing of what the Christ would do. But every day they would offer this lamb in the morning and in the evening. Okay. A constant reminder and illustration of the one who would come, the true Lamb of God. But in addition to the lambs that were offered, there was offered the, what's in the King James reads, the meat offering. It wasn't meat. It's just King James English. It's the bread or the meal offering. And I'm not going to go into a great detail about it, but it's pretty significant how they had to do that. But it was the bread offering and the drink offering. The bread and the drink offering was wine. This was offered along with that lamb of the first year. See? It's really something. So there's always been these illustrations. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in light of some of the things that we've just considered regarding this. This is a It's a great chapter in God's Word. We're not going to take much time with it, but I want to point out for our purposes the beginning few verses. In verse 1, chapter 10, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers are under the cloud," or were under the cloud, "and that all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Let me just take a moment with this. This is in reference to the children of Israel being led out of Egypt. It was a cloud by day, fire by night. God parted the Red Sea, and they walked through that Red Sea. But the one who accomplished it by way of believing was Moses. If you read the records, and I think most of you are aware, the children of Israel weren't a lot of help. But it was Moses. They were baptized in the accomplishments, the amazing accomplishments and believing of Moses. They partook of Moses' accomplishments. Isn't that something? By no merit of their own. Then it goes on. Verse 3. These are great verses in identification. "And did all eat the same spiritual meat." This spiritual meat is referring to the manna that they were fed with in the wilderness. And that was supplied daily, that manna, that spiritual meat. And then verse 4. "And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." See, this is really something. I want you to turn, let's go to John chapter 6. I want to look at a couple things real quick. I wasn't sure that if I was going to do this, but I am going to do this. John chapter 6. They ate of the spiritual meat. Keeping in mind that Jesus Christ was the subject of God's word, and that all things foreshadowed him, what he would do, what he would accomplish. See? That manna, or what is it, represented Christ. And Christ alludes to this in John chapter 6. And I want to read beginning in verse 47. And it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Isn't that something? That manna came down from heaven and fed them. But Jesus Christ is saying, "I'm the true bread." See, I'm the true bread come down from heaven. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, the Judeans had a hard time with this. But see, these are figures and an illustration. And he was speaking to the manna which had come down from heaven. It's really something, using this kind of sacrificial language. There was bread, that bread offering in the law, pointed toward the Christ in the same way. Isn't that remarkable? In Luke chapter 22, let's go there. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, or back to 1 Corinthians. Luke chapter 22. You know, it also mentioned in 1 Corinthians that spiritual rock. They drank of that spiritual rock. And that's in reference to where they, you know, the children of Israel thought God had led them out in the wilderness to die. "We're going to die. We're going to die." And they were thirsty. There was no water. "We're going to die." And Moses, hit that rock, and that water came out, see, and it was supplied for the children of Israel. Jesus Christ, in another place in the gospel, says, I am the living water. Whoever drinks of me will never thirst. See, all those things pointed toward the Christ. They were partaking in, they were identified with the Christ in the eating and in the drinking. It was a complete partaking of the Christ who would one day come. Luke 22, verse 19. It says, and he, this is what is referred to as the Last Supper, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Isn't that something? He institutes this, and it's, again, it's an illustration. That cup, which was had the fruit of the vine in it, representing my blood, see? This bread, and we'll see this in 1 Corinthians, this bread representing his body, which was broken, which was given for them, see? And we'll see a little bit more about this in a minute. So here, he does this with his disciples, and then he says, you do this in remembrance of me. Now, back to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians 10. I should have told you to keep a finger here, but I didn't. 1 Corinthians, and I didn't either, so. We're in this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So we read where they were immersed in Moses' accomplishments and the benefits of those accomplishments, the children of Israel, and they were identified with Christ in the eating of the manna, in the drinking from the spiritual rock, both of which represented Christ to come, shadowing him. That's really amazing. But I want you to go down to verse 16. In the middle here, what God, by revelation, is instructing these saints at Corinth is, look, the children of Israel had been partakers of Moses' accomplishments and had been identified with Christ, but then they also identified with idols. And it refers to the time, you know, with the golden calf, and it offered the golden calf peace offerings, which meant they ate, identifying with that golden calf. And what these saints are being warned with, look, you're identified with Christ, don't identify with idols. Then it goes on, and it says here, verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the full sharing of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or the full sharing of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one loaf. One bread, it says in King James. We're one loaf and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread or that one loaf. Isn't that remarkable? See, it's a full sharing in that blood, a full sharing in that body. Just as Israel identified with Christ in the eating of the manna and in the drinking of the water from the rock, looking forward to the Christ and what he would accomplish, we partake in what is referred to as communion, okay, fully identifying with and partaking in what the Christ has accomplished. Christ is the subject. Israel looking forward, we looking back. See, isn't that beautiful? I want you to turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The blood throughout the Old Testament represented the forgiveness, cleansing, and the atonement that Christ would bring. You can read about that in the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, and the same is true today. In 1 John chapter 1, you can write these down, we're not going to turn to them, but in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, where it talks about the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, he is the propitiation or the atonement for the sins of the whole world. See, that's right. That's what the sacrifice did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in verse 27, verse 23, I'm sorry, is where I want to start. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Literally, it's which is given for you. Verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup, when or after he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. This word show is to proclaim, to exhibit. That's the heart of it. When we, and we'll see this, when we do this communion together, communion is not a rite of passage to anything. The heart of it is that we together are preaching, proclaiming, see, declaring what it is our Lord Jesus Christ did for us by giving his body and by shedding his blood, the atonement and the forgiveness of sins that is ours. And we're going to see in a moment here the health that he won for us by the giving of his body on our behalf. And that's what we preach and declare together. And you know, again, God has always provided a means by which people could participate, see, in the looking forward to the Christ, whether it was in the sacrifice or the drink offering or the bread offering, all these different things. We could participate physically, eat it, take it unto ourselves, looking forward to the Christ. We do it looking back to the Christ. Isn't that something? And we do it as those who belong to Christ. It's just remarkable when you understand this. So we exhibit, we show the Lord's death till he come, meaning what was accomplished by that. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. I need to take a moment with this verse. You know what? Let me read 28:29 and then I'm going to revisit this section very quickly. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That is a horrible translation. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily is not in the text. It should read, he that eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the body or the Lord's body. It should read, not discerning the body. Let me revisit some of these words that are used because they result in great misunderstanding. of the heart of communion and the heart of our God and what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. Because it was given for us. This was broken for us. He shed his blood for us. We read last week that he offered himself on our behalf, God's sole motivation being love. See? And the heart of communion is to share in, to proclaim, to declare our Lord Jesus Christ and his accomplishments. This verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, the word unworthily, it literally means in an unworthy manner, and it's referring to the eating and the drinking, not the person. It's in an unworthy manner, okay? And we'll see what that unworthy manner is momentarily in the context. The word guilty, guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, the word guilty here is in the sense of liable or responsible. You're responsible for that. And I'll explain that in just a moment. He that eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks, you know, judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, in verse 29. This word that's translated damnation, it's a word meaning judgment. And it's the judgment to himself, not discerning the body. In other words, he's not understanding. And that's what it is to drink and eat in an unworthy manner. We'll see this in a moment. It is to not understand, not reverence, not appreciate what it is Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. It's to approach it. It's to approach it in some other way. See? That's right. Now, that judgment, you need to understand it in terms of you're being liable or responsible. Let me read the next verse and then we'll come back. For this cause, verse 30, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Many die prematurely. This is really a key to understanding this section. What God has given, God has given. What God has made available, God has made available. Whether I rise up to believe and accept what God has made available is never on God. I'm responsible. I'm liable. But what is so sweet about this, none of us will ever arrive. We all have weaknesses. We all have shortcomings. See? Our efforts to understand and to learn and to grow and to grow in believing are all with the absolute assurance that we are righteous in God's eyes no matter what, because the price was paid by Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus ever. Ever. 1 John talks about this also. See, that self-condemnation or that knowledge against self. All of this is done. All of this is done. Our efforts to grow in our believing and acceptance of what God has done. What was happening here in Corinth is there were some things going on that shouldn't have been going on. See, and they weren't approaching this with believing. They weren't approaching this with understanding. And who and what we are in Christ. See, that's right. His shed blood being that atonement, that forgiveness, that reconciliation with God himself. See, and his body given for our deliverance and for our health. I want you to turn, and I think this is where we'll close, 1 Peter real quick. 1 Peter speaks to this. And it is a citation from a prophecy regarding the Lord Jesus Christ that you can read in Isaiah chapter 53. Hmm. First Peter, chapter 2. Regarding Jesus Christ. In verse 22 it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, but when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self, it's an interesting phrase in Greek, his own self, it was Jesus Christ, his own self, bear our sins in his own body. His own self, own. He bore it in his body. Three great truths in this verse. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Do you remember what we read in 1 Corinthians 10? How they were baptized into Moses by taking part in his accomplishment? Romans says we were baptized into his death. See? That we should live in newness of life. So when Jesus Christ died, it's as if we died with him. When he paid the price for sin, it's as if we paid the price for sin. See? Then it says, verse 3, by whose stripes you were healed. It's a great truth in God's word. It says what it means, and it means what it says. See? This is what our Lord Jesus Christ has wrought for us, and this is what God's made available to us. And when we take part in communion, that's what we're proclaiming. See, we're remembering our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he endured and suffered so that we could walk in his accomplishments now and look forward to his return when we'll have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. Pretty amazing, huh? So I think what I'd like to do, Jim, you're going to need to, or Greg, you're going to need to turn Jim's microphone on. And we're going to do a song together. And then we'll do this. And remember, as we do this, let's remember our Lord Jesus Christ with great thankfulness. Okay? So, Jim, it's all yours.
His name is wonderful, his name is wonderful, his name is wonderful, Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the mighty one, God's only begotten Son. His name is wonderful, Christ Jesus my Lord. He's our Redeemer, the Rock of all ages. Our loving Lord is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Christ Jesus my Lord.
Thank you, Jim. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you with great humility and thankfulness. And really awe of what you've done for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that that we can grow in our appreciation and our believing, and that the eyes of our heart can be open and gain even greater understanding of what he's done for us. I pray, Father, for everybody that's a part of this, and really for your people all over the world. I pray, Father, that that you give us the grace and the strength to honestly rely on you. And that, Father, you help us to be to the place where there's not a circumstance that takes precedence over your word. Thank you, Father, for this. And that as we do this together, and I wish we could be together, but we're not right now, but we are kind of. But that, Father, we could just remember together what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And how each one of us is as loved by you as he is. And that, Father, we can carry that around every day in our hearts. So I thank you for these things in the powerful and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, well, for those of you who have a little bit of bread, normally we would do this together, a lot more sweet, but this is okay. This is okay. We can do this, we can remember, you know, as we eat and drink together. And remember, we are fully sharing and we are partaking, taking it unto ourselves, what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. So, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11:24. And he said, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. So, let's eat together. And after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, or after he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, or New Covenant, in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And remember what that blood was shed for and what it represents. Hey, Greg, would you close us with a word of prayer?
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Daddy, that we are in fact together, that you placed us perfectly in this body of your Son, first begotten, Father. We're so thankful, Daddy, that we can be brothers and sisters together with him, kids of yours, Daddy. And that we can, in fact, claim all that comes along with that. What's been done for us, who we've been made, and what we have to look forward to in that great hope, that hope that is anchored in the works of our wonderful Lord and Savior. And it's in His name that I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I love you guys. So if you want to turn on your video and we can at least get a look at everybody. Ah, look at that. There's Kathy.
So, Ronnie, that's it.
Cool. There's Drew. Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan, I got to tell you, Deb, every time your name comes up, she's like, that's the coolest name ever. Jonathan Montoya.
Montoya. Love
that name. It's like you should be in the movies or something. Jonathan Montoya.
Hey, Ronnie, you can unmute yourself now.
I see Daniel's on. Let me say hello to him.
All right, well, he's here somewhere.
You want to say hi to everybody, Ronnie? Okay, just say hi. Hi, everybody, real, real loud, okay? Ronnie's going to say hi. Okay.
Okay.
You can't hear me. No, that's okay. Okay, say it again, Ronnie.
Nice to see you. Okay. That was Ronnie.
That was Ronnie saying hi.
There's Todd. Hi, Carla. I've never met you, but nice to meet you.
They said hi and God bless you.
Hey, Daniel, how you like the melon?
There's Arkeela.
I think we will. I think you're right. And that'll be a sweet time.
That's cool.
Hi, Thomas.
Where's Thomas? There's Harry.
I don't know. I don't think so.
This is great. Oh, there's Thomas. I got him.
I don't think.
Hi, Lauren. Hi, Tristan.
Oh, well, I don't think it will be. We're just going to pray for the best.
Hey, Steph.
I love you guys.
Love you.
So good to see you. Can't wait to hug you.
Boy, I tell you, it's going to be great being back together, man. I'll tell you that. It's going to be awesome.
I just say, you know, our brother Jesus Christ is our friend, just like everybody out there. Because the world, they're not just
all right, Ronnie.
Tell you that much.
I love you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
love you.
Love
you. Mm-hmm. Mwah. Mwah. Maybe today.
Brooks is going to blow up.
Where's Brooks?
Right there.
Oh, there's Brooks.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Come on, Brooks. Okay, guys, you have to forgive me. I'm doing this for Brooks. Hey, Brooks. Hey, Brooks.
He loves it.
We all get the
benefit
of that. How you doing,
Joanna?
Good.
Hi, Steve Daniels.
Hi, Steve Daniels.
Yeah.
Hi, Arkeela.
He's got peeking behind.
Joanna.
Oh, there's Daniel.
Guys, thanks for
having
me. Hi, Lauren. Steve Rudolph.
Hey. Hi, Stefan.
Steve Rudolph.
Hi, Sabrina.
Where's Steve?
Hi, Steve Rudolph. Wherever you are.
I don't think he's on video.
Steve,
you don't have a camera. We got to. Well, it's good to hear your voice, Steve.
Oh, can you hear me? I am Jason.
Sarah. Sarah texted something.
It's great to see you guys.
Hi, Tony.
Go, Mom.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, it's an image.
Hey,
Tony. Oh, is that cool? Hey, Sarah, I got the shot of Abram drinking communion. That's great. That's great.
Hi, Amelia. Hi, sweetheart.
Oh, there she is. I see her.
I'm trying to spot her. Oh, there she is. Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Amelia.
Pim and jam.
Pim and jam?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Finn and Jam.
And there's Steve. There's Steve Daniels.
That's a one flesh thing, I guess.
Hi, Steve.
Wonderful,
Steve.
Love you, Steve.
Thank you,
guys, so much.
Guys, I gotta
go.
Bye, Cindy.
Love you.
Bye. Bye, Tristan. Bye, Lauren.
All right, I'm getting ready to bail. Love you.
Thomas. Bye-bye. Hey, Daniel.
She's great.
Coming back.
You see us, Steve.
Love you, Steve.
Bye, Sabrina.
See you, Tony.
Bye, Ken. Bye, Tony.
I want to keep looking at you.
I know. Don't want to say goodbye.
There's Brooks.
So much. Oh,
Brooks.
Love you, too.
Love you, Steve. Love you, Stefan. Love you, Chrissy.
I love you both
so much. All right, brother.
Dan, Tracy.
I'm glad you were here today.
Can't hit the camera for the monitor. There we go.
Oh,
hi, Brooks.
Love you.
Love you too.
Love you.
But,
oh, my gosh.
All right. We're out
of
here.
He's out of here. All right. Love you guys.
Weekend.
You too.
Mm-hmm. Bye, Brooks.
You too. He's love you, Brooks.
Waving like
love you. Love you, Steve.
Love you guys too.
All
love
right.
You.
Guys, love you. Thanks for letting us be a part of your fellowship this morning.
Oh, I have to. Oh, Pam! I didn't even know you were there.
Oh my goodness, Pam! Hi.
That was awesome.
Oh, good.
Aw, so good to see you.
Yeah, it's kind of weird doing this with a camera, but it's the word, you know, and it's. And I just love the fact that we could even do this in the middle of this craziness.
Love to hear the manifestations again, which is wonderful.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Love you, Dan.
I love you too, Pam.
I'll get out of the way.
Oh, she can see me.
Do you see Brooks there? That's my youngest grandson right there.
Has he said papa yet?
Nah, he's toying with me.
I think he tries. It comes out. He has a problem with the P, so it comes out like dada.
Is that right?
He'll figure it out.
He will.
Well, we love you guys.
All right, love you too. Good to see you, Pam.
God bless you.
Yeah, hope to see you next week. I didn't know this was available. And
it is.
It's wonderful. And
nice.
You guys are great.
All right, so are you, brother.
God bless.
Love
God
you.
Bless.
Okay, we just ended it. Well, that was a freaking hour and a half. Ooh.
I got paid.
How was it?
It was really good. I got some things about the teaching I don't want to forget.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's this one section, though. I don't want to forget it. I got teared up. And it's it's in Hebrews 5, where he, you know, the willingness. He wasn't looking to get out of it, but if there was any other way.
Right.
And by that, he learned obedience. That whole thing just really communicated to my heart in a big way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think I communicated pretty well that first fruits, firstborn.
Yeah, you did.
And then communion, it was a little bit more than I was originally going to do.
Oh, it was you did what you wrote. I don't know.
Are we still recording?